Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 16 and reading through verse 21. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." These verses follow the parable of the sower. In another passage, another gospel, Jesus says, "And if you don't understand this parable, you will not. How can you understand all parables?" And we saw as we began looking at this in the last two sermons the importance of this parable and what it speaks about Jesus' ministry in the first sermon, and then also as it speaks of the secret of how the kingdom becomes manifest in this world. That the sower, that God, the ultimate sower, first through the ministry of Christ and then through his apostles as he commissions them, and then the church, are the sowers that sow the word. And the word is sowed far and broad everywhere, even on the road. And he mentions four different ways that there's a response to the word, and he explains that by four different types of soil, but only one of those are the ones that produce the fruit, that the word actually produces what we would call a Christian. And that parable, again, we learn more from the Bible, that parable doesn't describe what it is, that why it is that only... Why does they respond differently? Other than the soil has been prepared. Think about it. That is good soil. It's not because some people are better than others. Oh, far be it for me that I would say I'm deeper than somebody next to me. But as we mentioned last week, God is the one through the Spirit that prepares. We're all bad soil. We're all bad seed. Like we're all the bad seed of Adam. But God, through his Spirit, as he causes them to be born again when they hear the word, they become that good soil. Praise God. But as we emphasized last week, that should tell us that even now, those who want to see the world ultimately become like all the soil has become good soil, that is... Doesn't seem that's not what he says is going to happen, and history shows that. We do that review because I want to let you know that when he talks about this lighting of a lamp, this is not a separate like saying that has nothing to do with the sower. It's connected with what he said before. Because there's going to be another nuance, another teaching that's going to help us keep all this stuff in good balance. I didn't use a word last week, but if we're going to say that What determines whether you have a good soil or a rocky ground or whatever is by the work of God's Spirit, by God's sovereign work. That alludes to a doctrine that a lot of people don't like to hear. That, of course, as Reformed confessional with Westminster Confession, we confess, and that is a doctrine of election. People don't like that because they want the idea that we are all living to our free will. Of course, you got to find those terms of what that means to free will. I mean, our will is corrupt at its core. If God left us to that completely without creating a new heart in us that Ezekiel speaks about, then we would all go to hell. Praise God that he doesn't lead me to my complete corrupt will, that he corrupt free will, but that he, by his grace, renews us. But this passage here is a balance of misunderstanding of this idea of election. You see, a misunderstanding that people have, even in our churches and others, well, if it's up to God, right, and his Spirit to change us, and it's because he changes us that we become, that the word responds, and we become, we become, as he says, producing that fruit of what the Spirit does in us by the word, then really we don't need to do anything. We're not active. Now, we're not sovereign in a some supposed free will, but we are active and we are called to be active. You see, when the seed goes forth and you have that fertile ground that's able to have deep roots and to grow, that's one aspect of the work of God. Again, soil doesn't do anything. Have you ever seen soil do anything? Have you ever seen it move on its own? It doesn't move. But as we saw last week, it's the power of the word that causes that. Now he says in verse 16, right after explaining the soil, he says this: no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Well, what is this all about? Well, he's talking about purpose and the right use or utility. I don't know if you ever, we think of lamps, we think of electric lamps, but imagine you have a power outage, right? You have nothing in your house except candles. If you lit a candle to give yourself light so you can walk around, would you put something over it to cover up the light? No. Again, this is a rhetorical question. That would be stupid. Because what's the purpose of light? It's to give you light so you can see what you're doing. It's the utility of the light. That's what he's talking about. He talks about the light, and the light here is connected to what? What was he just talking about in the parable? The word. Talking about the word. And so here is the exhortation to those who receive the word when it's spread. Respond properly to it. Use it for what it's used. That's what he's talking about. We know that. Look what he says in verse 18. Take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. Literally, woodenly, that the word take care comes from the Greek word to see, one of the Greek words to see, and it's the Greek word blepo. It can be literally translated, see how you hear. Of course, you can see it, what he said. It's pay attention to how you hear. It's what meaning is. Take care. Pay attention to how you hear. How you hear what? The seed. Look what he said in the parable of the sower. He talks about knowing in verse 10, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So he brings it together and to say to the people, yes, God will bring the increase, but you need to see how you hear, to take care how you hear the word that's being spread. Just as you would be careful on how to use a light, you would use a light properly. You would use the word properly. You would hear the word. You would give attention to it. Way we would do that is we would think about it. We would ponder it. Or like David, we would hide it in our heart. And it's the word that produces the growth. See, we're the seed, but we are active in doing it. We're not causing the growth. Understand that. The analogy I used very similar last week is, you know, if you want to grow, you're little, you're a kid, or you're a young, if you want to get strong, then you're going to eat. You're active in eating, right? But you don't cause your cells to grow. And the things, it is the food, it is what you consume. And so here's the balance. Yes, God does elect and he prepares us, but we're active in attending to the means of grace. We're using it properly. Verse 17 says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything in secret that will not be made known and come to light." I think that what that connected here within this context is the proper soil being made known by what it does. Remember, you told the disciples that we know the places that, you know, they are to hear the secrets and they are to work. And he chose, think about it, he chose them, and yet one of them was a devil. And the fact Judas will come to light, right? What he is, he's not a good seed. He's not the good soil. I can't say good seed. And so as you see the kingdom growing, as it's going far, things will show. You'll get some people will come to church, right? And they won't pay attention to what they hear. Remember, some of the seed, they'll look like they're Christians, and they'll act like they are Christians. And as John will say, they left us because they never were of us. If they had been with us, they would have remained with us. But they left us to demonstrate that they were never part of us. 1 John. And I don't want that to happen to any of you, and I don't know, but my encouragement, the encouragement here, what we said last couple weeks, the implied imperative of be careful how you hear, is explicitly said as an imperative. Take care how you hear the word. Now verse 18 helps us to understand this again, still the connection to the parable. Look at what it says here. Take care then how you hear. Remember, the statement or parable, if you want to call it, about the light, is make proper use of the light. And so what he's saying here is take care how you hear the word. Take proper care. Use the word rightly. Take care how you hear. For to one who has, more will be given. To the one who has the word and the effects of the word, and the one who pays attention to the word and properly hears it and meditates on it, and you know, more will be given. Kind of like all-you-can-eat buffet. That may sound like a bad analogy, but it's true, you know. They'll want to famish themselves with the Word of God. And if you go to an all-you-eat buffet with food, it's not really good. That's why it's not a great analogy. You shouldn't go to buffets, because then you'll be unhealthy. But if you seek not the food here that perishes, but seek the food from heaven, you'll get spiritually strong. And that's what he's saying there. And if he gives you the word, it's the word. The more you pay attention, the more you study, the more you go to God in prayer, the more you make use of the means of grace, the more you'll understand and the more fruit that will happen. But then look what he says here. This is why the connection with the parable of the sower. He says, and from the one who has not. Notice, the one who has not, what? Again, if this is a parable of the sower, what? They don't have the seed growing. They really don't have it. And then it says this. Even what he thinks he has is taken away. He doesn't say what he has. And what does that refer to? Brothers and sisters, look at the parable of the sower. Verse 13. And the ones on the rock, and those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. That's what he's talking about. That's the illustration. They think they have it, but they really don't. And that's what John is referring to in 1 John. They're in the church, they make confession, but they're using the word not for what it is, but they're using it maybe for other means. I mean, there are people who want to become Christians and don't focus upon God and do it for, but because God hasn't worked on them, they're more concerned about changing this world, as we saw last week, right? You know, and if we can change this world, then this is what it's good for. Now, the Word of God has many secondary applications. I'm not saying the Word of God isn't important for that, but it's not ultimately that. It's the kingdom of God. It's our devotion to God. And I'm to be devoted to him whether I change somebody's mind or not. Martyrs throughout the centuries have believed that. The entire culture has been against them. But what? They had produced that they looked to God ultimately. That they took care how they heard. Brothers and sisters, I want you to receive more of the Word of God. And not just receive it in hearing it, that the sound waves go into your eardrums and you're able to figure it out. And then it just goes out. That's like taking nourishment where you never take the nutrients out of it, right? It just passes through you. How do you know? Here's a question that's associated with this parable. How do you know you're the good soil? It's because you attend. You take care of how you hear. And you're concerned about it. And yes, you will do what the Word says. And what is the primary thing the Word calls you to do, the Word of this gospel? What is the primary thing, the main thing that all things spring, that all things flow from, that you need to make sure you do? Look to Christ. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And devote yourself to him. Then the obedience to the commands, the fruit, the what we would call, you repent and turn to him. That's what we're called to do when we pay attention to the word. And then we will have the fruits in keeping with that turning to him, in keeping with that repentance, the fruit of all the commandments of God. And we'll have, not only will we begin to do them, but guess what? We'll begin to love them because they no longer stand against us. And that's what will happen in our lives. You know what? If the world lived like that, Think about it. If the entire world and governments lived like that, would we have peace on earth? Of course we would. We'd have peace in the church. Do you have peace in the church? Do you see it? Have you ever seen it completely? No. Why? Well, because there's various soils. Jesus is here telling his disciples, and he's telling you and I, we should pay attention to how we receive the word, to how we pay attention to the word. Even though the world is falling, kingdoms rise and fall, churches rise and fall, schisms rent asunder, even though we at times rent asunder, right? What's the solution? Jesus. And pay attention to how you hear the word. To pay attention to how you hear Jesus. Brothers and sisters, notice this. Notice the balance here. God's sovereignty in election, God's sovereignty is the one that causes the growth, and yet we are called to do. We are called to be active. We don't cause it. You see, he's at work within us, both to will and do his good pleasure. I want to close with a way of, again, as we talked about, Jesus is teaching with the crowds during the time of his ministry was in parables, and he explained it to the disciples, and we get part of that explanation in the Gospels. But we get that fuller explanation of things as the epistles are written, as the disciples, as the Spirit comes to both remind the disciples what Jesus said, the Comforter, but he also leads them into all knowledge, and he leads us. And so the epistles are so important. And if you would, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Peter writes this: His divine power has been granted to us. His divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We'll just stop. That's the idea of that seed. He's calling us through this word and the power of the Spirit. He's granted us these things. Sovereign. By which he has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desires. Really quick, this idea of divine nature. It's not that we come down, it's as the divine nature, as Jesus was, it allows us to be sinless. That's how we be. In other words, we become those that don't sin. We are we partake of that. We are growing our sanctification. That's what it's talking about. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Notice, nearsighted that he is blind. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look what he's saying there. Pay attention How you hear and how you react, how you respond to the word, as you apply the word, as you are devoted to the word, as you live in obedience to the word in all its facets. In doing that, you're making your calling and election sure, from another translation. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're part of that eternal glory that are based upon his promises. And his all of his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. Now, let's look at verses 19 through 21 and see how this relates. This ties this whole section off. This whole section that began at verse 1 of chapter 8. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. There's a crowd around him. They couldn't get in the house. Remember the men who brought the paralytic? They had to go down the roof. Well, his mothers and brothers didn't want to do that. They couldn't reach him, so they sent word, maybe by word of mouth, hey, could you tell Jesus we're here? Is family important? Is Jesus' mother, Mary, important to him? Of course. Is your mother important to you? Of course. But look what he says here. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Notice we get no indication in any of this text that he ever goes to see them. Now, I'm sure he did. But look at his first response. This is Jesus using a living example as a parable to teach and to tie up what has been going on. But answering them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word. Remember, hearing, parable, seed. Hear the word of God and do it. These people who are hearing me and who come to me and who are surrounding me and who are devoted to me and using the right means of the word, as they're my family. Well, who are they? Well, look at, we mentioned this when we looked at beginning of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterward, they went through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Guess what? Who they are? They're his mother and brothers. Maybe we should say brothers, right? And some of the women who had been healed from evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whose 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and others who were providing for them out of their means. What were they doing? And just as they would use a lamp properly, because they're using the word of God properly. They're hearing what Jesus says. And they're responding. They're the ones that are his mother and brothers. You see, spirit in the kingdom of God, spirit is thicker than blood. You've heard the term, blood is thicker than water. That's the idea. The spirit is thicker than blood. Jesus was devoted to his mother. I don't go away and say that I'm telling you shouldn't care about your family. That's not what we're saying. But of course, if you have family members who aren't believers, what do you want to do? You want to spread some seed. You want to do everything, yeah. But because you want them to become even closer for eternity. You want them to enter that's what your desire should be. Not only in your relatives, but your friends. But as you do that, you need to make sure you're hearing the word and you're seeing the word and you're paying attention to how you hear it and how you respond. That's what this passage primarily is talking about. what we don't want to do is just use a doctrine of election. You know, I'm just going to throw things out, and I know that God's going to be at work with me, and I'm just going to be a lazy Christian that just lives my life and care less and, you know, let God do. I call that reformed quietism. Just stand there and let God do something. No, we need to be diligent. We need to be active, knowing that he is at work within us to both will and to do. We need to continue to trust in the Lord. We need to continue to seek. Oh man, I acted rashly. I yelled at that person. I shouldn't have done it. Or I sinned and I need to confess it. Not to gain God's love, but because of his love. Not to gain God's forgiveness, but he who has forgiven much will forgive little. Brothers and sisters, take care how you hear the word. Again, I've been talking about hearing and doing. Go back to the idea, I mentioned this in a previous sermon, the Hebrew word shema, which is where you get the shema. The word is from the Hebrew word to hear. To hear in Hebrew is to not only have it come in, register in your mind, but actually to respond, to take care how you hear and to do. The analogy that I used, I'll use it again. When a mother says to a young child, or a father, did you hear me? They're not asking whether they heard their words and understand what they mean. They're asking, I told you to clean your room. Did you hear me? In other words, are you cleaning your room? Brothers and sisters, we are to hear God, but notice, as I emphasize here, and this is so, so important, the key thing that you need to hear and that you need to pay attention to and that all of our obedience springs from is the work of Christ, that God so loved us, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Part of the eternal life that we have, we begin here. You know that you've already begun your eternal life? Your eternal life includes your obedience. We begin to practice that here as he's conforming us more and more to that. But if we go directly to the obedience and bypass Jesus, brothers and sisters, that's not properly taking care of the word. To neglect Jesus as going to. Because in repentance, as we said earlier in other passages, when we repent from our sin, we repent from our sin of what we do and what we don't do. We repent from our righteousness and we turn to the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. And as we come to him, he will be at work within us that we will do the works fitting with that righteousness that we've come to. But a lot of religions turn from doing bad things and they don't turn to Christ, but they turn to doing good things. That's moralism. We turn to Christ, and in Christ we build these things. And in Christ we take care of how we act. And in Christ we respond. Guilt, grace, and gratitude. Brothers and sisters, take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have brought us to yourself. You have brought us into your holy family. And you are making us more and more holy internally so that it would result in our obedience. Father, help us to hear, to make use of the means of grace, to seek to obey you in the strength of the Spirit that you have given us. May you protect us from turning from you in any way. May we not turn to you in moralism. Father, may we not turn from you in those who, in the fact of coming to you and just thinking, oh, doesn't really matter what we do. For that shows us that we are not that fertile. Help us, Father. May we encourage one another. May we help one another as we may struggle. But in all things, Father, may we May we, look to you and lean on you in our prayers and in all things. We pray these things in Christ's holy name.